This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas. And I think you'll find some of the statistics you hear in today's episode really interesting. How little food that we consume here in the greater Austin area is produced here. How much food insecurity there is here in Travis County. And how we can all contribute to a plan to make things a little better. On the line is Edwin Marty. He is the first City Food Policy Manager for the City of Austin's Office of Sustainability. What does all of that mean, Edwin?
Well, Food Policy Manager is a kind of wonky term, but you could break it down. Essentially, is I am helping provide the City of Austin with strategic direction about how to create a more equitable, sustainable, and resilient food system. By food system, I mean, where does our food come from? Production of food, processing, distribution, consumption, and waste recovery.
The thing is, it doesn't come from here. Does it?
Very little of it. We've got a state of the food system report that we put out every couple of years to document some of the data that we know about our food system and some of the trends and challenges. And we've seen a slow decrease in the amount of food that's produced locally, that's consumed locally. And according to U.S. Department of Agriculture data, we're at less than 0.06% of the food that's consumed locally is produced locally.
About a half a percent.
Half a percent.
One of the big reasons for that is growth and the expensive land. You know, the idea of I'm going to get about 5 acres and we're going to grow organic, healthy food and sell it at farmers markets. Well, that's harder and harder to do because that land now costs so much.
Yep. It is a real challenge in a city like Austin, that I think we've been top growth city for well over a decade, or at least near the top. Land needs to be developed to create housing and to create all of the things that we need as a community. And unfortunately, the most easily developed land is nice, flat, open space like farms. Mm-hmm. And so our farmland has been just gobbled up. We're losing about 16 acres a day of what we call prime farmland in Travis County.
A day.
A day. You know, drive around Travis County, doesn't take a science degree to figure that out. It is a really challenging situation. And, you know, we need affordable housing. We know we have an incredible affordability crisis in Austin. And, you know, people that have lived here forever can't afford to continue to live here. Where do we build new houses? How do we make sure that we've got enough houses to create a more affordable situation? It unfortunately has come at the expense, for the most part, of prime farmland. So we've got a real quagmire on our hands in terms of how do we set priorities as a community? Where do we want to go? What do we want Austin to look like in 5, 10, 50 years? And then how do we create some scenarios where we can balance out the need to continue to grow as a community with the need to grow our own food? And there's a whole lot of reasons that we should have much greater percentages of local food, environmental, social, economic, et cetera, security, to say the least, but we've got to figure it out. We've seen a decrease, not just in rural agriculture around Eastern Travis County, but also in urban farms. A number of my friends who have been urban farmers for years are no longer urban farmers. They've sold their properties and have gone off to do other things. And we've got to really figure out how to create a better process to get new and beginning farmers onto property, to make it affordable for them, to create a pipeline to get people, aspirational farmers, access to land. And there are a bunch of people that would love to be growing food, especially growing food for a living. But it's, as you touched on, it is a really challenging economic scenario to get that off the ground.
So we're losing farmland at an incredible rate per day. I think that's like a whole Zilker Park in every 3 days or so we're losing. And that's really hard to wrap your brain around.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, we have food insecurity for, I think, 14% of yep. people. In Travis County. Now, this is not just the city of Austin. This is in Travis County. 14% of the people that live here don't know where they're getting food from for every meal that they need and going without. And their housing costs are so high that then they have to sacrifice on buying food. And again, like 0.5% of the food that we consume here in the Austin area in Central Texas is from here. So it's just like this vicious cycle. Less land, fewer farms, more people, greater need. Yeah. You got a tough job, man.
Yeah, it is in some ways you could say it's intractable. I mean, there may not be a good, you know, solution, but let's be honest, we have some really smart people in this community And we've got a lot of innovative people, and we've got some people that really love this community that have been here for a long time. What we have to do is try to figure out how do we channel voices around these questions. And so essentially my job, and thanks to you, it's easier, is to make sure that people understand these issues and that we have a bigger dialogue about these challenges. It's been my perspective for the 8, 9 years that I've been in the city that people just aren't really talking about these things in a way that I think they need to. And so, you know, we appreciate getting the chance to get on the radio and kind of elevate the conversation. But simultaneously, we're launching a pretty exciting project called the Comprehensive Food System Planning Project, where City Council directed us to create the city's first comprehensive food system plan. And we're working with our friends over at Travis County to create a shared Travis County Austin food plan. And so we're going to spend the next year talking to people about these exact issues. What do you think? Where should the food come from? Should we be producing more than 0.06% of our own food? And how do we make sure that fewer families have to make difficult decisions about paying medical bills or putting good food on the plate? So we're going to spend lots of time, lots of effort getting out, talking to people from all walks of life. And really what we're hoping to do is create a vision. What do we want our food system, what do we want our food community to look like in a couple of years? And then through voices of the community, it's our job at the city and the county staff to try to translate that vision into some potential actions. What do we prioritize? What do we think is the most important thing that the city and the county can do to support a vision for creating a better food system? Does that mean using city and county land for food production? Probably so. There's certainly a lot of interest in that. And we actually do have a fair amount of land. The city is currently leasing one plot of land to a local nonprofit called Urban Roots, who's converting a former dairy farm into a production urban farm and using that farm to create leadership opportunities for high school students. Really wonderful example of how we can use city land to produce more food and engage young people in activities that can hopefully lead to a better life. So what we'd like to hear from the community is this a good idea? Should we be doing more of this? Should we be converting more city land to potential uses like this? And then working with the county, who's been actively buying up land along creeks and rivers for protecting environmental issues. But we also have, through that, a fair amount of farmland that they've been purchasing adjacent to these creeks and rivers. And there's a good opportunity for us to explore if the community feels like we should be really prioritizing local food production, making it easier for new and beginning farmers or existing farmers to scale their operations through access to land that's publicly owned.
And the competition for the city or the county to buy more farmland, the competition is so intense, not just from the housing industry, but like Elon Musk's boring company, and also wealthy people who aren't really interested in getting their hands dirty, but they could buy easily a higher price, a piece of land, put a couple of head of cattle out there and get the tax benefits of it. So you're competing with all kinds of different special interests just to get that piece of earth to grow stuff on. And at the same time, I saw one stat from your page that greenhouse gases related to food, delivering food, and again, less than 1% of our food is grown here, getting that food, going to the store to buy it, maybe being in a drive-through waiting to get your burger, I don't know, but 21% of the greenhouse gases here in Austin are related to food. What are some of the other factors that are in that?
Yeah, it's a complicated equation. And this is some of the exciting work that we've been doing recently in the Office of Sustainability. Our office has for years been working on climate issues. You know, we created the first climate plan, I think 6, 7 years ago. And then we updated that recently last year with our newest climate equity plan. The latest climate equity plan really looked more broadly at all of the different ways that our community creates greenhouse gas emissions. And that included the food system. And so we did a pretty deep dive and looked at what are the implications of how the food that we eat is produced, where it's produced, how it gets to us, and what happens after we eat it? So unfortunately, one of the big drivers of greenhouse gas emissions in terms of the food system is what happens to the food we don't eat. And we've got great partners at Austin Resource Recovery that have been scaling out what we call the organic diversion program, trying to make sure that every household in Austin has a way to put food waste into a bin and take that to get composted, as opposed to that food ending up in the landfill. And it's really one of the greatest causes for greenhouse gas emissions in the food system is that burying of food waste. When you put food waste into the landfill and bury it, it off-gases and significant amounts of greenhouse gases are released. But not only that, so it's not only a primary driver from just what happens as it's being decomposed underground, all of the upstream causes of greenhouse gas emissions associated with food are also packed into that food waste. So you get all of like the, say, the, you know, gas from cows burping and trucks emitting greenhouse gases. All of that is packaged in the food that then doesn't get eaten and then gets thrown away and buried and then causes even more emissions. So it's a real kind of nasty compounding problem, but it's a solvable problem. And right. It's something that there is a scenario where we as a community can say, this is unacceptable. We do not need to be throwing away any food. For one, 14.5% of our community is food insecure. So all potentially edible food should be going back into our community to be consumed by people who need that. And then if that food's not consumable, it needs to be used for industrial purposes or fed back to animals or potentially composted. And so that's a strategy that we've been working on the city for a number of years, but it's a big, big issue because we've got 1 million people in the city of Austin and everybody eats every single day, sometimes three times a day. And that food often ends up in the landfill. And so we've got to really figure out how to prioritize increasing the attention to that, make sure that everybody in the community understands how critical it is to not throw food away, and then make it easy. I mean, frankly, that's, you know, the primary reason that food gets thrown away instead of composted is that it's challenging. You know, I do it at my house. I've got a big compost pile out back, but I love composting. I'm pretty passionate about it. I love it. You know, not everybody thinks that dealing with, you know, half rotten food is very much fun. So we as a community need to make it as easy as possible in every single setting where you might be eating food. If that's at your house, if that's at an apartment, if that's at school, if that's at a restaurant, it needs to be the absolute go-to option. It needs to be the thing that is the easiest to do, not the thing that's the hardest to do.
We're talking with Edwin Marty, who is the City Food Policy Manager out of the Office of Sustainability for the City of Austin. And I want to get back to how much food we waste here in a minute. But you talked about how you love composting. Your whole career has been about sustainable farming and all the issues connected to that. You've done it, I mean, literally all over the world. Did a lot of work in Alabama with their sustainable food programs. But yep. Also I saw Mexico, Chile, Australia, and Mongolia. What are they growing in Mongolia that you helped with?
Yeah, I spent about a year in Central Asia living in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, working for a nonprofit development agency. Super fascinating. I could talk for a couple of hours about it. But long story short, the Mongolian community was really suffering in the late 90s after the Soviet Union basically collapsed and the Chinese weren't interested in trading with the Mongolians. For various historical reasons, basically the Mongolians went back to essentially pre-Soviet Union goat herding, but they had a city of a million people in Ulaanbaatar that, you know, could not survive off just people herding goats. And so there was major food insecurity across the country, but mainly in their capital. They did a really good job of building greenhouses really quickly. They started in the mid 90s building hydroponic and other kinds of greenhouse operations to produce tomatoes and cucumbers, two top favorite foods in Ulaanbaatar. Who'd have thunk?
Wow.
But that's what they wanted to grow. So I was over there helping out with a couple of strategies to try to make sure, honestly, it was actually a little bit about composting, to try to figure out how that community could integrate food waste back into their agricultural production systems.
My goodness. And Mongolian barbecue actually came from the Mongol warriors cooking on their shields, right?
It did, although interestingly enough, you can't get Mongolian barbecue in Mongolia.
No.
it's a bit of a misnomer. It's from northern China, and the Chinese tend to think that northern China is actually the original Mongolia. A lot of history, a lot of politics there. Yeah. But yeah, Mongolian barbecue actually came from northern China.
I would imagine they don't waste as much food in Mongolia with that food insecurity as we do here. I saw this stat. We collectively here in the Austin area waste over 1 million pounds of food every day. And if we didn't waste it, that could probably feed all the 14.5% of food insecure people.
Yeah, it's a staggering amount. Now, I do want to clarify that that statistic includes the entire production cycle. So from where the farmer first plants the crop to where it ends up on your plate, what happens after it. So 40% of basically all of our food is lost somewhere in the supply chain. And so a fair amount of it actually just never gets harvested in the field for various reasons. Some of it's lost in shipping and transportation and processing. Some of it gets lost at the food retail point. But the vast majority of food waste actually does occur right on our plate. So yeah, I mean, we've got a really major problem. Now, I do think another important point to note is we have enough food to feed everybody in our community. Food insecurity is not a result of not having enough food. And oftentimes we think about this, oh, if we're wasting all this food, we should just not waste it and everybody would be well fed. Unfortunately, food insecurity is really a question of poverty, and poverty needs to be addressed as an economic challenge. And poverty is a result of lots of different systems, but primarily a lack of affordable housing, a lack of universal health care, a lack of good jobs, just to name a couple of them. So food insecurity is really about additional economic hardships, not just the actual lack of access to food. Right. Now, that said, there's some great organizations like the Central Texas Food Bank, Keep Austin Fed, couple of other great groups out there that are doing really good work to get food out of grocery stores and out of restaurants that's still edible and divert that to families that are in need. It's really, really important that we absolutely focus as much attention as possible to make sure none of that food is going to waste. But that said, to truly tackle food insecurity, we need to think broadly. We have to think about all of the other components in our society, like affordable housing, like access to healthcare and access to good paying jobs, to make sure if we're going to really solve food insecurity, which I think is a mandate. I think that we as a society need to address the fact that it is unacceptable for anybody in a community, especially like Austin, to be food insecure. So unfortunately, we don't have clarity on that right now. And one of the things that we'd like to see coming out of our food plan is some, you know, clear vision from our community. How do we think about this, and how do we prioritize this, and what do we need to really get to the point where we just don't have anyone who's food insecure in our community?
Is there anything being done to say this parcel of land is farmland now, it works as farmland, it'll stay farmland? Is there any kind of protection whatsoever?
Yeah, unfortunately there's not. And, you know, the state of Texas is unique in some ways, and there's a lot of regulations and rules that that prevent a local government from restricting the development or use of private property in any way, shape, or form.
Uh-huh.
That said, there's some really exciting examples, and I'll just bring up introduce a new phrase to you, agrihoods. This idea that you can actually develop a piece of property and preserve or create food production opportunities within the context of a neighborhood. I'm not crazy about the term agrihood. It has some potential implications that are not wonderful, but it's an interesting idea nevertheless. And we've got an example here locally. There was a great farm called Greengate Farm. I think one of the first organic farms in Austin, run by my friend Skip and Aaron, just wonderful folks. Their property was purchased. Their farm was purchased by a developer out of state, and the farm was going to be, you know, completely destroyed and developed. Fortunately, through incredible advocacy from Skip and Aaron and lots of other folks, the developers were able to come up with a new model that preserved part of the existing farm, basically increased the density of the housing development. And now the farm is permanently preserved. It's about 5 acres of an absolutely beautiful farm right in the middle of a pretty dense, tiny home community over in East Austin. One, it's a really good example of trying to find that compromise. Okay, yes, we need housing and we need food production and we need all of the other environmental and social benefits that come from preserving farms. So that's one example. I think, you know, if Austin is really going to be successful and a really livable community in 5 or 10 years, these are the kind of things that we need to replicate. I would love to see every single development in Austin and in Travis County explore, if nothing else, how can food production be integrated into that development? I think every single new development should, at the minimum, have a community garden, should potentially have opportunities for a for-profit urban farm. We could have a food forest, which is this idea of planting fruit trees for people to consume the fruit for free. Lots of different opportunities to integrate local food production into potential developments. But we've got to elevate that conversation. We got to get people excited about it. We got to get people talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking with Edwin Marty, who is the City Food Policy Manager for the Office of Sustainability of the City of Austin. Then there's the rest of us who have, well, a little backyard. I now have more sunlight in my backyard thanks to the ice storm and losing some limbs on the trees. My son has actually gotten really into to growing stuff in our backyard. There's the opportunity to grow a lot of your own food right in your own backyard. How can people learn more about that? How does your office offer anything?
Our office doesn't really focus much on what we call direct service in terms of teaching people about things like local food production, but there are so many great organizations out there. And actually this weekend coming up on Earth Day, there's lots of great things happening where you as a community member can plug into and find out more about how to grow food on your own and get connected to other groups that are doing similar things. So, you know, Earth Day is coming up at the Houston Tillotson campus on Saturday afternoon. There'll be lots of different groups from Travis County Extension, and our office will actually be tabling as well, talking about some of the stuff we do, but lots of different groups and nonprofits that work on how to support you and your journey to produce more food. So please head out to Earth Day at Houston Tillotson as well, as we're actually going to be part of an event called the Field Guide Festival on Saturday afternoon, which is sort of a food event where local chefs are partnering up with local farmers and basically showcasing how good local food can be and the deliciousness of that. So lots of different events like that. But to circle back to the actual, like, getting plugged into how do you get support, you know, there are so many good resources at the Zolka Botanical Garden, just to point that out, as a wonderful hub. Austin Organic Gardeners meet there on a regular basis. They're a wonderful group to get connected to. So many good resources. You know, growing food in Central Texas is not easy. I've been a farmer almost all my life, and I will say my backyard garden is very small for a very specific reason. I like to keep it small and keep it good because it gets hot, you know, and then it gets really cold, and then we get lots of rain, and then we get no rain. So getting some support to learn how to do that successfully is really important. And I guess I'll just end that by saying we do have, you know, AgriLife, the county, the Travis County Extension Agency, has incredible resources. They do classes all the time. They've got lots of different stuff on their website. Couldn't recommend more highly getting plugged into what the Travis County Extension and AgriLife are doing. They get paid to help you.
AgriLife.
Correct.
All right. So what are you growing right now, Edwin, in your backyard?
Yeah, so I got to go out to my favorite nonprofit, Urban Farm, Farm Share Austin, a couple weeks ago. They have their annual plant sale. And out in Eastern Travis County, I was able to purchase a whole bunch of just wonderful tomato starts. Favorite tomato, without question, is the Cherokee Purple. Just one of the most delicious, beautiful little creations that's ever graced the earth. The most flavor that you've ever imagined. Pretty easy to grow. I bought the actual, what's called the cherry version. So really small fruit. I tend to prefer tomatoes that are small because we've got lots of critters like squirrels and things that tend to chew on fruit that sits around on the plant for too long.
Right.
So the cherry tomatoes seem to be a lot easier, but I did some companion planting with those tomatoes in the same bed. I got a bunch of basil, Italian basil, and then dressed the sides of the beds with arugula. So growing a little bit of arugula, a little bit of basil, and a whole lot of tomatoes.
Cool. The Office of Sustainability, we started with Earth Day. A lot of people talk about Earth Week, but you guys are doing Earth Month. You're doing all kinds of stuff if you go to the website for it. And, and really, there's a austin.gov/a longer address, but I just find if you just type in Office of Sustainability, Austin, everything pops right up. But what are some of the big things that you as a city department are encouraging people?
Yeah, we're celebrating Earth Month Challenge. So it's not just a day, it's a whole month. And if you go to our website, again, just type in Office Sustainability and get plugged in. Earth Month's Challenge is an opportunity for you to win some prizes. So basically, all you got to do is jump on the website and fill out a quick form and basically tell us what you're up to, and you can win annual state park passes and passes to Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center. So just tell us what you're up to. What exciting environmental issues are you working on in your own life? Just tell us what you're doing. We love to hear from the general public. We know that there's so many great people across Austin, Travis County doing cool stuff. We want to amplify what you're doing. We want to elevate the cool things that you're doing. And we're going to give you some opportunities to get some free state park passes and Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center park passes. So just check out our website. Tell us what you're doing. And then come out to the Earth Day event at HT, come out to the other events. We're also going to be out at Waterloo Park on Sunday at the Green Days event. Lots of different stuff. You can come out and say hello to us. And if you see our table at the Office of Sustainability, we'll help you make sure that you get access to all the cool stuff that we're doing as part of Earth Month Challenge.
Edwin Marty, again, the City of Austin's policy manager and the first one ever. And you're closing in on 10 years, aren't you?
I am. Yep. Very excited to have our food plan finally underway. So hopefully before I hit my 10-year mark, we'll actually have a comprehensive food system plan to point to and really amplify what we're working on as a city. We've got lots of good information about that Austin Travis County food plan on our website as well. So hopefully spend some time on our website. It's filled with lots of good information specifically for you, the people of Austin.
Thank you, Edwin. Really appreciate
it.
All
right. Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, I found that to be really interesting. I hope that you did too. My name is Kevin Connor. This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. Your comments on today's program and topics that you would like to hear addressed on future episodes are always welcome. Studio at sunradio.com. This is the Sun Radio Regional Report.